Luke chapter 15. Verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Now, I want to read in chapter 18. Chapter 18. Verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, finally, I want to read in chapter 23. Chapter 23. Verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, that's all I purpose to read from the Word of God. It's a very simple thought that I have in my mind, which I hope will prove to be a help and a blessing to someone in tonight's meeting. After all, the purpose of this meeting is for the blessing of sinners. It's not just to preach a gospel to suit the saints so much, but a message that might reach the heart of some poor needy sinner. And that's what we're mostly concerned about at this closing part of the day. Now, I want you to think of a man leaving the far country and returning home to the Father. Then secondly, I want you to think of a man leaving the temple and going down to his house justified. And thirdly, I want you to think of a man leaving a cross and landing in paradise. The dying thief. And that gory scene of crucifixion where he was impaled before he expires and throws out his last breath. He is assured from the lips of the Savior, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." You can see that the three passages have all to do with conversion. And conversion is something that is very vital. Indeed, it's most vital as far as eternity is concerned. Because no man could ever think of being in heaven without conversion. And I have no doubt in my mind that the story of Luke 15, the prodigal, it's the story of a conversion. And of course, the man in Luke chapter 18, we could not doubt for a moment, but it's the story of a conversion. And when we think of the thief who left that cross and went to paradise, it was the greatest transaction that ever took place in his life. Wasn't it? Well, it did take place before he breathed his last. A young man leaving the far country and returning home. Oh, he has tried it. It hasn't worked out as he thought. All that he expected to find proved to be a bitter disappointment. And it could be that we have someone, perhaps a young man, perhaps a young woman, in the hall tonight. And you have been just doing what the prodigal of Luke 15 tried. You have been trying the world, and alas, you're beginning to find that it's a bitter disappointment. Mind you, dear sinner, we don't care what avenue you may explore. Try its pleasure. Try its politics. Try its religions. Try anything that the world has to offer. We can assure you of this on the authority of the Bible that we preach from, that the world cannot fill the vacuum that's in the human heart. And here's a young man has tried it. And you notice the discovery he has made. Oh, this would be a great meeting tonight if some poor soul were to make the discovery that the prodigal made. I perish. I perish with hunger. He has discovered that the world, with all that it seemed to be, has proved a bitter disappointment. And his heart is full of remorse. Full of remorse. We are told about a certain flower that grows out in the West Indies. It emits a beautiful odor when it's growing. But the moment that you pluck it, the odor turns into a stench. And you have nothing left but something that you want rid of. It's called the dead horse. It's rightly named. But mind you, dear sinner, that's very like the world, isn't it? Because all that the world offers to a sinner, the greatest joy that he gets out of it is in the pursuit of it. And when he has plucked the flower, it turns to bitterness and turns to remorse and turns to grief in his heart. And here's the prodigal in the far country. And he has discovered that the world's a disappointment. He says, I will arise and go. I will arise and go. His awakening has led to a resolve. And he makes up his mind to go home. Now, people just don't get saved by making up their minds to get saved. But mind you, there's nobody gets saved without that. And mind you, dear soul, if ever you're going to be in God's heaven, you'll have to make up your mind to get God's salvation. And here's the prodigal, and this is the resolve of his heart. I will arise and go. We don't read much about the journey back. We read very little about the journey back. You see, to your soul, the Lord is not teaching penance in the passage. What he's teaching is repentance in the passage. And no sooner has he made up his mind to go home, he says, I will arise and go. That the Father runs to meet him. The Father runs to meet him. And for every step that the prodigal takes homeward, the Father takes 10 toward him. He flies on the wings of love and on the wings of mercy and on the wings of grace. What to do? To meet the penitent son. What's the cry of his heart? I have sinned. I have sinned. Oh, that was like music in heaven's ears. Mind you, dear soul, I want to tell you that this is something that God never turns away from. A heart that's truly penitent. A heart that's truly broken. And here's a young man in the far country, and his heart has been broken. And he's led to this confession. And he's led to an acknowledgement. And he says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's repentance. Repentance. And no sooner has he repented of his sins, but we read of the Father's arms around him. I want you to notice that he has a direct line to God. I will arise and go to my Father. He has talked about the servants. How many hired servants of my Father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. But he doesn't think of going to the servants. Oh no, dear sinner. He's thinking of the one against whom he has sinned. And he realizes that if he's going to be right with God, he would need to get to God. And isn't it great to know tonight that there's a way direct to God for the sinner that's prepared to repent. He doesn't need a priest. He doesn't need a prelate. He doesn't need ordinances. He doesn't need anything of the world's inventions as far as religion is concerned. No, the sinner who's prepared to repent of his sins, he can turn to God. He can turn to God. And he finds the way back. Oh, what a scene of rejoicing. The best robe put on him. The ring on his finger. The sandals upon his feet. The fatted calf killed. They began to be merry, and we never read of it ending. What has happened, dear friend? The heart of God is made glad. Why? A sinner has repented. This is the truth of the passage, you see. Likewise I say unto thee, said Christ, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. And here's a prodigal. Oh, I wonder, have we a soul in the meeting tonight with a burden of sin? One who has discovered the emptiness of the world. One who has discovered the disappointments of the world. You've been supping at its dish, and you're beginning to find that though it may have seemed pleasant for a time, it's leaving nothing but remorse in your soul. Oh, sinner, isn't it great to know that there's a direct line to God? There's a God you can find tonight. When will you find him? When you repent of your sins. Repent of your sins. Oh, there's a scene of joy here, as I've said. You know, it's very solemn to think that a sinner has never brought one spark of joy to the heart of God in his unsaved condition. We were hearing this afternoon in the meeting about years lost, time wasted. Mind you, dear soul, if you're not saved tonight, there's one word could be written right across your life. It's the word waste. And as far as heaven is concerned, and God is concerned, your whole life is just a waste. There's nothing in it. Completely lost to God and to eternity. And you've never yet brought a spark of joy to heaven. When was the Father's heart made to rejoice? When the prodigal returned with a broken heart. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. A sinner finding his way home to God. You'll notice that in chapter 18, as I've said, we have a man leaving the temple, a religious place, the place of worship. And he goes down to his house. And the commentary of the Savior upon this man is this. He went down to his house justified, rather than the other. You well know the parable that the Lord is speaking here. Two men in the temple. They both went up to pray, but as far as the Pharisee was concerned, it was no prayer from him. It was all just a matter of parading his own goodness and parading his own holiness and his own righteousness. And he says that he's thankful that he's not this and he's not the other thing. Oh, he's so proud of himself. Ah, but I want you to think of the other man for a moment or two. The publican. What's he doing? He's smiting upon his breast, the very seat of his corruption. He's afraid to lift up his eyes to heaven. He would not lift up his eyes to heaven. Doesn't mean that he couldn't have done it. But he's so full of self-abasement. He's so conscious of his own guilt. And his own sinfulness, and his own destitution and wretchedness, that here's a man in the very temple of God, and what's he doing? Oh, he's crying to God for mercy. He says, God, be merciful to me. Now, our Bible puts it, a sinner. But in actual fact, it's the definite article that he uses. It's God be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, it's the sinner with the definite article. You see, the Pharisee is the saint of his day. But the publican has discovered that he's the sinner of his day. And he's conscious of this in the presence of God, that he's a sinner. And on the grounds of that, he's appealing for mercy. God be merciful to me, the sinner. The sinner. He has marked himself out from all others. He's not poking into the lives of other people. He's not looking down his nose at others. No, dear friend, there's one man only. And one man only that he's concerned about. It's himself. It's his own wretched condition in the presence of God. And the prayer that he utters is a prayer for himself. He said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. You see, this is the very ground upon which God will meet the sinner. Just as he is, in his wretchedness, in his destitution. When the Pharisee's praying, he's drawing all attention to himself. Oh, it's a prayer with a big capital I, if you call it a prayer. But the publican, you'll notice that when the Lord speaks about him, he would direct attention not to the Pharisee, but to the publican. And he says, I tell you, this man, went down to his house justified rather than the other. He has seen something at the temple that the Pharisee never saw. At least if he saw it, he paid no attention to it. He shut his eyes to it. What was it? Oh, it was an altar with a sacrifice. It was an altar with fire burning and with a sacrifice being consumed. And this is the grounds that the publican makes his prayer upon. God be propitious. God be merciful on the grounds of propitiation made. As he looks at that altar, he sees that it's an altar to meet his need. It's a sacrifice for him. Oh, dear sinner, it's a great moment when a sinner discovers his wretchedness and his sinfulness and his guiltiness. But I want to tell you, dear soul, it's a great moment when a sinner discovers that all his need is met in the work of the altar. We know a brother. He has spoken in this very hall. And it was through the verse of a hymn that he got saved. It's a verse I love to quote when preaching. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Why did the publican go down to his house justified? He went down justified on the basis of the sacrifice that was offered. Oh, sinner, it's the cross tonight. It's Calvary. It's the work of atonement. It's the blood of Christ, dear sinner, that can meet your need. And without it, you'll never turn up in heaven. I was telling them in a home, was it on Friday evening, of what I read a few weeks back in a local newspaper. A school teacher had asked his class if anyone could tell him of something that God couldn't see. And a little fellow, just somewhere from the age of 10 to 12, put up his hand and he said, Sir, God cannot see my sins because they're covered by the blood of Christ. Oh, that's what the publican has taken in. That's what he has learned in the temple, dear soul. And I want to tell you, he went down to his house with later step than he went up to the temple. Oh, there's a burden gone. There's a load lifted. There's an awful tale of guilt that has been removed, all on the basis of the sacrifice that was offered. My dear sinner, if you want your sins pardoned tonight, if you want rid of them, and if there's a burden that's weighing you down, dear soul, we would turn your mind to the cross. For as Handley Mole has said, it's the great observatory from which we can watch the moving lights of heaven, the moving lights of the being of God, His love, His grace, His mercy, His truth, His righteousness. Oh, dear sinner, if we had no cross to preach, we would only have a message of judgment. And all that God could declare to sinners would be a message of judgment because of their sin. My sinner, turn away to the cross tonight. That's how the publican went down to his house justified. He was right with God. Why? On the basis of blood that was shed. It's the answer to man's need. God has no other remedy. That's what led me to give out that hymn tonight. For it's a hymn I love to sing, William Cowper's hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And isn't it wonderful to see Cowper, even though he was a religious man, and he lines himself up alongside the dying thief, and he said the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. A publican going down to his house. You know, this would be a big meeting tonight, wouldn't it? If some poor soul left it. Well, you wouldn't be poor, friend, if you could say it. But if you were to go down to your house tonight, justified, right with God, sins gone, the guilty past blotted out, heaven as your home, and all well for eternity. Thirdly, I want you to think of a thief who left a cross and who landed in paradise. Just 6 hours of life left. He's the victim of circumstances. He's impaled upon a cross. He has eternity before him and is beginning to grip his soul. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He is a man, dear soul, and in the closing hours of his life, he has become conscious of his guiltiness. And the question is, what's he going to do? He has only a few hours left. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Oh, humanly speaking, there's none. No use telling this man to get baptized. No use telling this man to join some particular body of people and become religious. No use telling this man to turn over a new leaf and try and reform his life. He has only a few hours left, dear soul. Is there any hope for him? What's he going to do, dear sinner? Oh, thank God there's hope. Because he has learned something in those few hours upon that cross. Marvelous the realm of truth that his mind has been traveling over. Perhaps he has grasped even more than some of the apostles had grasped. His prayer is very short. It's very brief. Ah, but dear sinner, it's a prayer that's rising from his heart. And it's a prayer going out to one whom he has learned can meet his need. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. There's a king dying beside him, and he has learned that great truth. The one that's dying beside him is absolutely pure and sinless. He has learned that. And he declares the innocent, the spotless purity of Christ in the face of the world. When the world is against Christ, here is the thief, and he's proclaiming his spotless purity. He has learned that the one beside him is God. Now, we never speak of God dying on the cross. But we believe that the one who died on the cross was God. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And here's a man, dear sinner, oh, that you could do it tonight. Thank God you could do it. He's prepared to put the full weight of his soul and the full weight of his sins and the full weight of his eternity into the hands of Christ. And Christ is prepared to accept the burden. And said the Lord Jesus to this man today. Oh, he likely thought a place in the coming kingdom away in the far distant future would be a great thing. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. No, said Christ, today. It's a present salvation he's assuring him of. Today shalt thou be with me. It's a perfect salvation with me. All heaven is wrapped up in those two words. With me. With me in paradise. That tells us where Christ went to when he died. I like the way that John puts it in his gospel, you know, that when the soldiers came to break the legs of the first thief, and then they came and broke the legs of the second thief, but when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. No need to break his legs. Dead already. Where had he gone to? He'd gone to paradise to welcome the thief home. What a thrill, if you allow me to use that word, what a thrill it must have been to the heart of Christ's dear sinner in his dying moments on earth to save a man from hell and pluck him from the very jaws of eternity. Oh, sinner tonight, isn't it marvelous to think what the grace of God can do? To take a man from a cross is someone, what about his body? Don't you worry about his body, dear soul. God will look after that. Here's a man, and he leaves a cross of shame, that gory scene of crucifixion, and he arrives in paradise. Why? He trusted the Son of God with his soul. If you would do that tonight, that's where you land. But friend, if you don't, it will be like the other thief. For if one man landed in paradise, the other man landed in hell. And the cross that parted them on earth has parted them eternally. Sinner, haste to Christ tonight. May God help you to take in these simple but precious truths.